Hello and welcome to Eternal Dirtles. I'm your host, Zach Clark, and with me as always, Phil Blackman. Phil, how's it going, man?
Yo, is this the first time you and I have both been on the cast simultaneously in like 4 years?
It seems like it. Like, I mean, we have a co-host. Brando's here.
Yeah, Brando the co-host. Welcome, Brando, our new third. He's going to be on the cast all the time. He's got a lot of in-depth opinions about the legacy metagame.
Yeah,
dude, Brando, take it away.
He's 100% on Isamaru, like, you know, death and taxes.
Oh, yeah. That's if any person was seeing Brando not putting him on Isamaru, you've been corrected.
Yeah, what are you even doing? Come on, bub. So anyhow, I just got back from MagicCon Minneapolis, which is why Brando is so excited to see me.
Yeah, was Brando at Minneapolis with you? No?
No. Oh, man, that would have been so cool if we could have just dressed him up as Isamaru and just, like, had him run around.
You gotta dress up as the Wandering Emperor and then have Brando as Isamaru.
The loyal companion, yeah. That would be great.
A game.
Brando is not as he looks super nice, but he is not great with strangers. Unfortunately.
No, look at Brando. Of course he's good with strangers. He's good with everybody. Look at that face. Look at that face.
Yeah, man. Oh man, going for the full big yawn. Anyhow, yeah, so I just got back from MagicCon Minneapolis, and man, I had such a goddamn blast. Phil, I met so many fun, just fun content creators and people and the folks at Wizards. You know, I got to do some interviews. I got some special time with some of the creators. The PR team that was there set me up with so many cool opportunities, and we've already posted some of them, so you can check those out. I'll link them at the end of the show. I don't want you to leave the cast right now, but like at the end of the show, we'll go over all the content we've created since then, and you know that kind of thing. It was just such a really fun time. I went out with the guys from Moxfield, I guess I can spoil this now. Who I am working doing their customer service for. I just lost my normal gig, so I'm kind of still looking for, you know, what's going on. But in the interim, they're helping me out there with a little bit of side work, which is great.
You're now working with the Moxfield guys, which is great because you've known them forever.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with those guys. Harry was like one of the first guys I started playing Magic with. And John I've known since like high school. It's super exciting to be working with the guys from Moxfield. Oh, looks like Brando's timer has popped. There we go.
You should share with everybody the trick that you added to Moxfield, your recommendation to Moxfield.
Oh yeah. So
because everybody encounters it.
I am user number 10 on Moxfield. So like I've been with, you know, with the I've been with the brand since it started. But things that when John and Harry, like, I'm not a program designer, or, you know, developer or whatever. Like, I don't know anything about computers aside from like how to send an email. But one of the things that John and Harry really appreciate about having somebody like me around is occasionally I'll get a really good idea about, like, you know, the user interface. And they play mostly singleton format. So like, you know, I just have a completely different perspective. And the feature that, like, I'm kind of responsible for, the thing that, like, my mark on the site, is if you're clicking on a card and you want to add more, you can hit, like, add more in the little triangle under the card. It automatically puts a 3 there because I was using the site initially and, adding cards. It was like, add more, add more, add more, add 1, add 2. Or I have to type the 3 in. And you're almost always typing 3 at the beginning of a deck building session when you're, like, doing all that. So now when you hit add more, the 3 pops up, and that's for me.
It's just auto 3.
Yeah.
So
you can change it, obviously, but like it starts at 3.
For everybody who's used Moxfield, think of the sheer number of clicks that you've saved because the 3 is already there. You can thank Eternal Dirtles as always.
Yeah. Let me give like a quick day-to-day rundown of how the con went for me, and I think that's the easiest way to like kind of recap everything. So I met up with Harry and John at the Philadelphia airport. We flew into Minneapolis airport, took a cab, got out of there, went right to the con, and of course we sat down. I sat down with Phil Gallagher of Thraben University, and Brian Koval of Bosch and Roll, also of the Eternal Glory podcast, both those guys, which kind of completes the circle since I had Brian on like about 2 weeks ago. So we've, you know,
yeah, I've got... Everybody was like, wow, Phil, Bryant was way better on the cast than you. And I was like, yeah, what about it? Like, get over yourself.
Yeah. But yeah, so I got to sit down with those guys and Harry, and we played a couple of games of Commander. I played my Garth Guildgates deck, Guildgate Go. I'll link that below. You can see the deck list below. It's a very cheap Guildgate Matters, you know, Mazes End style deck. I actually did end up picking up a win with that game. And then we played a couple of games of CEDH, and that was like super fun. We got into like real tight, fun games.
Who's your commander at CEDH?
I use Angie Falconwrath. So basically, it's a World Gorger Dragon deck. You discard a bunch of mana cards, trying to find a reanimate or a necromancy or a Dance of the Dead, and you end up getting infinite mana and infinite draw off of World Gorger. And then you draw your whole deck, get a bunch of mana, and you discard a Avacyn's Judgment, where X is, you know, whatever your infinite mana is, and you can kill everybody that way.
There it is.
And the other thing is, like, you can use Glinthorn,
Glass Cannon?
Charger or whatever. It's super glass. Yeah, I prefer my CEDH decks to be, like, am I going to win or not? But that deck kind of has, like, a weird mid-range backup plan, because you can just start casting Madness spells, like, which is, you know, like, but really the deck is pure Glass Cannon combo. But I like that for CEDH, because normally that's not the style of play that I run. But I like that because, like, it's a little bit less thinking on my end, because I'm already, like, you know, I'm already playing, like, a bunch of games of Commander. I'm already, you know, I'm playing Legacy, and this is kind of just, like, okay, like, I can kind of go on autopilot, and if they have it, like, I have Red Blasts, but aside from that, like, it's on everybody else to, like, fix anybody else's, like, broken deck problems, because I'm a broken deck trying to go off.
Yeah.
So then we went and had dinner. It was really great, actually. I got to have dinner with a couple of people. One of them was one of the guys from Nitpicking Nerds, Joe Cherries. They're a really great EDH podcast. You probably know about them. They're much larger than we are as far as podcasts are concerned, or YouTube channels are concerned. So we got to sit down and we just, you know, talked about, like, our Magic experience and, like, content creation. And, you know, like, just life experience and stuff. It was really fun.
Real quick, I have the list up right now. And according to the internet, we're the number one Magic the Gathering Legacy podcast. Is that not true anymore?
It is. Well, we are the number one Legacy Magic the Gathering podcast. But they are the number one, like, EDH YouTube. Between them and, like, Command Zone. But
hold on. Pulling up the list.
Oh, pulling up the list, he says.
No, dude. I mean, according to the internet, we're the number one. we're the number one.
It's us. It's actually, we're the number one. Yeah, okay. I didn't know, so I said.
This is good news for us. I mean,
it's great news. It's wonderful to find out. It's a little awkward to find out now, you know, but anyhow.
Probably should have looked this up before the podcast.
Yeah, I should have.
I'm looking at the list.
Yeah.
This is what the list says.
The official list. Phil has it. I don't. It's not in front of me.
Yeah, we'll put the official list down in the diddly-doo down below.
Yeah, so it'll be there.
Take a look.
But yeah, so it was really nice to just talk with somebody else who's got a lot of experience doing the content creation thing. And, you know, I get to kind of share my Magic the Gathering story, which is a lot at times. And then we all did dinner, and then we went back. And we played, like, Commander in, like, the lobby of one of the hotel, and did that for a while. And then, you know, ended the night, woke up the next day. I put on my Pac-Man suit. In case you guys didn't notice or you're listening, I have on my Pac-Man suit right now. And it is
the hottest suit.
It is by far.
I'm just, hold on 1 second. Let me do something real quick. Yeah, so I'm pulling up the list of hottest suits. And the number one on the list is the Pac-Man suit.
It's this particular suit. Yeah, it's the Pac-Man suit. Number one. So, number one Pac-Man suit.
It's pretty good. You're doing pretty well this episode, I'd say.
Yeah, man. I've been crushing it this episode, it seems like. You know, I went. One of the great things, by the way, about rocking a look like this at like a Magic convention is I was telling Phil, like I have nothing against cosplayers. I love cosplayers. I think that's a cool thing. I'm always like a little timid about hanging out with podcasters or like talk or podcasters. Cosplayers are talking like directly to cosplayers just because I know they're there, they're doing their thing, and they do want people to come up to them. But like, that's just my weird social anxiety. But like, all weekend, people were just like, "Hey, nice suit," and like, that's enough for me. Like, it's like, "Hey, thanks, man." Like, you know, cool. You know, but almost everyone in the con at some point or another was just like, "I like that suit," you know. And it's like kind of an off brand thing that like people see it and they're like, "That jives." Like, that works.
It's just the easiest thing to comment on to start combos. Yeah, it's just like it gives people the permission to come and talk to you for about anything, really.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I have this like sportscaster vibe, you know, like when I'm wearing this, I feel like, you know, like Howard Cosell, you know.
Dude, I would definitely, if there was the Pac-Man World Championships, I'm hiring you to do the sportscaster.
Yeah, of course. I don't know if you have the list in front of you, but apparently I've just been ranked the number one Pac-Man podcaster as well, and the number one Pac-Man commentator. So,
hold on, tell your story. I'll look up that list and I'll let you know where you're ranked at.
So continuing on. So then they did the Steve Sanu, who kind of does a lot of their marketing and PR. He's kind of the guy that tells the people that are interviewing, like, you can't talk about that yet. You know, like, really great guy. I met him at HasCon a few years ago. He sat down with me after they did the Secret Lair drop for the new Secret Lair deck. I sat down with him and Jarrett of Infinity Bros, and we played a game where Steve played the Cute to Brute deck, I played my Garth deck, and Jarrett played a Paladin of Moors like Voltron style deck, and we got to see like every card in the deck, and you just hang out with somebody that's involved with the brand and like talk the entire time, and just like, it was a really fun, like, really chill experience. But we were away from the rest of the crowd, so we really got to like really dig in and see like exactly what you're getting in that. And it's like it's a really nice deck. $150 for like $300 worth of cards, an EDH deck that's just like ready to go, which is great. And they're apparently shipping now. Like, I got the coin flip deck, the heads I win, tails you lose deck, which I really like. It's a super fun deck to play, but it took a year to come in. This one's shipping now. Like, it was ready. He was like, here's the box. I opened it. Like, these are ready to print. They're ready to go. And, you know, and so I also got to ask questions to the team behind the Cute to Brew like event, which was cool. I'll post that video up where it's the whole event, and then I stuck around. I got to ask a question, and then I watched everybody else's questions. So there's a lot of cool information there. And then I got to have that interview with Gavin Verhey, where I talked to the Legacy subreddit, and we kind of all came up with a bunch of questions we wanted to ask. And I initially only thought we were going to get like 6 questions in, but he was just like, keep asking until you think you're done, which was amazing. Like, you know, like, he basically just gave me unfettered access to him for like a half an hour. And
Gavin coming on the podcast when?
Yeah, right? Like, right. That was a super, to me, like, you know, because we have been snubbed before, you know, that one time that, Aaron Forsythe was supposed to come on the cast,
So Aaron was supposed to come on, but that was that was a long time ago, right? That was like several years ago.
It was like 5 years ago. Yeah. At least.
Things might be different now because you can show them this list where you are ranked the number one.
Yeah. We have the list. Yeah.
Sportscaster. So like, I you've made some significant jumps over the last couple of years on that list. So.
Oh, man, too. Phil, I forgot to mention, you knew because I was texting you the entire time, but we hit 600 subscribers on YouTube right as I landed in Minneapolis, which was so cool to me. You know, like, that big thanks to everybody. Like, that was amazing to me. We've been trying really hard over the last year to get our subscriber base up on YouTube, but hitting 600 right as I hit the con, I felt like it was like a Big in Japan moment, man. I was just like, this is cool.
you know, we're touching down and like we're going back in. I think we're up to like 625 now. So we're gonna keep the content rolling. You guys have seen the shorts and stuff, and you know, doing the video stuff, all of it. You know, like we're you know, rolling out the Twitters and stuff. You know, like we're just getting it's just ramping up. You know.
It also puts us slightly ahead of schedule because our goal is 1,000 by the end of the year. So we're like over halfway by the halfway point of the year. So we're slightly ahead. So we have a little bit of buffer room. That's good.
Yeah, I think that we are close to I think that we could probably hit it by October if you know, my legs don't fall off. But
well, I'm looking at the list of likeliest podcasts to hit 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year, and we're
are we
actually
number one on that list too?
We're in the top five. So
Okay. You know, we're
it's early in the year, so I think we could definitely hop up a couple of spots on that list. Yeah.
I mean, a big shout out to VidIQ. If you're a podcast person, VidIQ is a channel that I've been watching a lot and like kind of mimicking what they do and figuring out how all that stuff works. So that's been really useful. Doing the shorts every day has been really useful and fun. And sort of that allows us to, you know, we're a legacy podcast, but it allows me to sort of expand my magic knowledge a little bit. Like we did, I did like a short on Asmora Martica Decina Koldakar. And the biggest comment on that was people just being like, did you just say that without tripping over it at all? Like, you know, I was like, hey, me and Phil have had a lot of practice saying Asmora Martica Decina Koldakar, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah, it used to be an award on the show for a while. Yeah. We gave.
I believe that we were awarded number one podcast that can say Asmora Martica Decina Koldakar as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate that list was like discontinued after like spoiler season ended.
Yeah. But I think Remy stole it from us. I think Remy usurped us when he did the when he did that song.
Yeah, and that's fair because Remy's a friend of the cast. But if you go back and look at the archives, if you look at the archives of the Asmora Martica Decina Koldakar list, we are on top of it. So. Yeah. Who knows what that would look like today, but at the time when it was discontinued, we are number one. So that is another feather in the cap of the Eternal Dota podcast.
Yeah. So yeah, that was like day two. Did that. And then I played, you know, just wandered around, played Magic, went and got some food. And then ended the night there.
What was the difference go ahead.
I forgot. I got invited to the content creator, the content creator party after party thing. So I met some folks there. That was super fun. There's like some karaoke happening. I got in too late to do the karaoke, which is a shame because I could belt it out. But that was a lot of fun. Just talking to people and like, you know, I had the suit on still. So people were coming up to me like, oh, I saw you at the con earlier, you know, whatever. So that was nice.
You got a karaoke, just keep it up with the Joneses.
Oh man. Well, you can't karaoke your own song. Right. Actually, yeah,
can karaoke your own song. Come on.
You know what my go-to karaoke song is, Phil? It's You Better You Bet by The Who.
Oh yeah. You can crush that. Yeah.
Dude, it's so much fun because it's like a call and response thing. It's like, oh, when I say I love you, you say you better. And then everyone's like, you better, you better, you bet. You know,
there's your next parody.
I don't know. Like, I'd have to think about what the, magic reference would be there. You're already dead. You are already dead. When I say you're dead, you better say you're already dead.
This is the process, everybody. This is how you're seeing.
This is actually, this is literally how it works. Me and Phil get on Zoom and we just start talking about music that we want to cover, for the show. Yeah, go on.
I was going to ask you, what is the difference between, or was there any difference between this con and the previous con that you went to?
Giant difference.
To the last two.
Giant difference. One, because, so I'm a homebody, man. Like, I like to stay at home. You guys can see, like, I'm pretty comfortable here, right? So at PhillyCon, anytime there's a con close to me, I go back home. I don't hang out at night. You know, I get my rest. I wake up and I go and play, and I'm just not as out there because, like, I'm like, you know what? I just like want to, you know, I'm comfy where I am, right? When I travel to a con, I'm kind of out of my element, so I kind of push myself to be a little bit more, and I'm already a lot, right? So, you know, I try to push myself.
Looking at the list of the people who are most a lot, hold on one second. Yeah, you're number three on the list.
Three on the list.
Number three. So
it's me. Rosewater is probably two, and then like what? Like Yahoo Serious? Like Carrot Top? You know.
So Rosewater is actually one and two.
Oh, that makes sense.
He's a lot.
he's that makes. 100% makes sense. So, yeah, so did that, and then we go to the third day, and I was just down, like, I went, you know, I just put the Eternal Dural shirt on and just the jacket. I was like, too much, can't do this 3 days, like 2 days in a row, the exact same suit. Everyone was mad, actually, because they were like, why didn't you just go with the whole suit? I was like, I wanted to change my pants, man.
Oh, yeah, you got it. You can't wear the same clothes 3 days in a row. Come on.
People, right? Yeah. Come on. I would just buy three. Like, maybe that's, like, our new Patreon level is, like, buy Zach another two Pac-Man suits. But, you know, I just lost my job. So, like, I don't want to go just, like, buying Pac-Man suits and, like, you know, that's the worst reason for your wife to leave you after you get after you lose a job is, like, he spent all his money on Pac-Man suits. He's got a problem. You know,
I'm pretty sure if I was fired, the first thing I would do is spew everything I have on Pac-Man suits.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a gamble for sure. But so
clearly
yeah,
it pays off, though. It pays off.
It like I felt like it paid off for me. Then I got to meet the head of the content creator team at WotC, Diana. She was awesome. Aaron Dix of Premodern saw me on Sunday, which was really rad. Let's see. This is shuffle off here. Hung out with Joe and BZ from Nitpicking Nerds. Their significant others were there. Mia and Christian, which was rad. They were a lot of fun to hang out with. Saw Kibler. That was neat. Man, there were just so many people. Like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Voxy, she's like another content creator who's pretty cool. It was just nice to like kind of rub elbows and not feel like that was that's always been my concern when I go to one of these events, because this event isn't for legacy players, right? Like when you and I are at Eternal weekend, like everyone there is like, yo, what's up, hey, how's it going, you know, like they know us, and we're not celebrities per se, we're just like good guys in the room to know, we're talking to people and having fun, but
yeah,
like
unfortunately, we're not on the celebrity list.
No, we're definitely not. So
unless we're not on
When I go to an event that's not like legacy or eternal based or even like competitive, this was not a competitive event. I mean, there's a pro tour there, but that's not, you know, that wasn't why a lot of people were there. So when I go to an event like that, it kind of forces me to meet a lot of new people. I sat down for just pick up Commander games and just start talking to people who aren't legacy players, and was like, hey, we just put up a bunch of new like welcome to legacy. Get into legacy content, like you should check it out, you know. And then we just jammed, you know, EDH games, and I was like it's just kind of cool to see, like a community that we don't normally get, and it's like the Venn diagram of people that listen to our content and people that go to Minneapolis is like so tiny, right? And I mean, the Venn diagram of Magic players and people that listen to our content is actually quite tiny. If you consider 600 subscribers to these other guys who have over 100,000 subscribers and stuff like that, it was just nice to be taken seriously by other people that are content creators, in the same room, and like not be like, oh, you only have X. You know, like I feel like that's one of the cool things about Magic is like even if you're like a super small channel, Wizards is giving you Wizards gave me an interview that like I don't think like a bigger brand, they're a pretty big brand. I don't think ESPN would have been like, oh, why don't you go interview the 76ers this week since you have like 600 people on your podcast, you know? Like, it was really cool to just get that recognition and to be made to feel like I'm a professional as well. And to me, like that just meant so much. And like I said, getting to hang out with the other podcasters that were also like, one, looking for that kind of interaction, but also like, you know, I didn't feel like I was like some weird fanboy the entire time, which was kind of great.
Yeah, I think it is pretty cool that Gavin gave some time to sit down with the cast. But he has done that with a couple of different podcasts. Like, I mean, obviously he did it with Leaving a Legacy. He would go on Leaving a Legacy podcast. And then he started going on the Dark Death podcast this past year as like the successor to Leaving a Legacy, as like where he goes for his yearly like check-in with Legacy and the format. It's interesting because like I wish we could like get him for longer because there's so many more questions that we could ask him regarding the format, particularly like he said that he plays Legacy fairly often, right? He said he's a Storm player at heart.
Storm Doomsday.
Yeah. He's just a combo guy, you know, down to his soul. But I think it would be cool to like even for like, I would love to talk to the guys at like everybody who works at WotC who does play Legacy or talks to Legacy when they're coming out with new cards about, hey, what could theoretically make an impact? What could we, you know, sort of give the Legacy format that needs right now to sharpen things up or whatever? I think it would be great to have whoever works over at WotC and plays Legacy routinely, you know, because as far as I know, it's like Gavin and that's it. That's all I know now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anybody before then.
There was this great show in the 80s called Don't Just Sit There. It was a Nickelodeon show. And every like 2 months, they would have the guy from Wham-O show up on the show. And like, it was an interview show. It was kind of my like first concept as like a podcaster, is like how to talk to another person in a room where you're trying to get like decent information out of them and do like do an interview style thing. So like, it was kind of like late night TV for kids, but it was like on Saturday afternoon. But they would have this guy show up from Wham-O, and like he'd be like, yeah, we got the new Dunkin' Yo-Yo, but like it was really cool to be able to check in with that guy like every couple of months, and he was just like, yeah, I got all this new stuff, like check it out, you know, like. And to me, like, that would be the ideal situation, is have like that, like, oh yeah, like, you know, next episode we've got that scheduled interview up with one of the guys from WotC, you know, like that would be so cool to have like that sort of like that touch to like just be like, hey, you know, like, you know, here's how the community's feeling about this. What do you guys think? You know, because one of the things that I think that was really important about getting that interview in is like, you got to challenge the interviewee a little bit, but like just asking them stuff like, you know, when are you going to do this? You know, like, you know, it's like a feather touch. You kind of have to like be a little playful with that stuff. But I think that they do appreciate hearing some actual real feedback as well.
Yeah. And now that we have that sort of in for, do we know when the next con is? Have they announced it?
So I have to shout out Jeff and Larry from 50cc. Those guys were the PR company that WotC hired for the content creators, and they did an amazing job. But right as I was leaving, Jeff asked me, he said, Zach, are we going to see you at Barcelona? So I don't think I can make it to Barcelona. The money situation is a bit tenuous right now, but man, I would sure love to go to Barcelona. I've been abroad for Magic a couple of times, and it's so much fun. Phil, you've also been abroad for Magic a couple of times.
The last time I was abroad was to go to GP Birmingham. And what ended up happening there was the group that I went with, we ended up making it a trip around Europe.
So yeah, we a bachelor party too, right?
It wasn't a bachelor party. It was Bryant actually proposed on that trip. Not to me. To his
congratulations.
To his now wife. But what ended up happening was it was the first time I met Callum over in the UK. So we met up with Callum in London, and then we like traveled to Belgium and just drank a whole shit ton of beer, and it was delicious. And we got drunk on the cobblestones in the Grand Place, which is like this magical place in Belgium. And by the time we made it to Birmingham, everybody was totally wiped from being hungover for however many days in a row. We all scrubbed, and we decided that next time we do a European trip, it should just not involve Magic. And,
yeah.
Anytime we want Magic, we should just focus on the event, because we all did horribly, but not because, you know, we had poor deck choices. It was because we all couldn't understand how untapping and our upkeep worked, because we were all wasted.
Yeah.
We were so wasted.
So my story was kind of the opposite of that. I went to Lisbon in 2012. This was Return to Ravnica sealed for a Grand Prix. And what was great is I had just gotten back into the game. So I bought a case of Return to Ravnica and brought like basically four of every Ravnica card with me on the plane. And I went with Harry from Oxfield. So Harry and I spent the first week hanging out, doing the Lisbon thing, going around Portugal, eating, drinking, hanging out with people, meeting folks. We stayed in a hostel, you know, just like the full Europe experience, right? And every night when we get back to the hotel, the hostel, we would sit down. I had an app that would make a sealed deck, like make your like six packs for you. And we would jam sealed at each other and just like try and figure out like the format and like learn, you know. So by the time we got to the event, we were like ready. We were like focused. And I opened like a pretty eh Bant deck that I sideboarded three cards out of it. I took three cards out of that and made a really great Grixis deck that I went 5-3 with. I only needed to win one more to, like, go to day two, which would have been amazing because it would have been my first day two in the, like, you know, my first day two ever. But, like, that would have been 3 or 4 months after I started playing the game again. So that was, like, it felt really good to, like, be like, oh, I still got it, you know? And it was just, like, a super fun time and you know, nice chance to hang out with friends. But, like, I actually did do pretty good for, like, my skill level at the time. So I was pretty like, oh, yeah, we got to do this again. It was so much fun to, like, we went, like, you know, did you stretch out? How long was your trip?
So I actually went there a couple days earlier than the rest of the team. So I was there for, like, a week and a half.
Okay, same, yeah.
I overlapped 2 weekends. So the Magic weekend was the second weekend, so I was there for a week and a half prior to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
10 out of 10, we'll do again.
That's how long I spent, too. But, yeah, so finishing up I guess that's kind of everything from Magic Con Minneapolis. I know I missed a ton of stuff. I didn't write anything down. I recapped a lot of this on Twitter. So if you check out Twitter, that's got kind of the rundown of everything. And, yeah, I just, like, it was just cool to do the gathering, you know, like, to meet people, to make friends with people again. You know, it's something that even in Philly, because I had so many local friends around, I was kind of able to just be cloistered at a four top the entire time and be playing Commander the entire time. But I made sure, especially because John and Harry were there to, like, meet people and talk up Moxfield and, like, kind of, you know, do their thing. So I made sure to, like, I wanted to give them their space, but I also wanted to, like, branch out on my own and talk to people about one, about Magic, two, get some games in, and three, just, you know, hang out, you know. Oh, I also saw Roland. God, how did I forget that? I saw Roland. That was awesome.
Yeah, he's at every event. He travels and, for everything.
Yeah, and Joe Vasquez from Get There Games was there. You know, man, there was just so many people that I got to see. It was such a fun time, man. I just had, I know I keep saying this, but I had such a blast.
So we'll figure out how to get you to Lisbon or Barcelona.
Barcelona,
because if you don't go to Barcelona, everybody's going to be like, "Where's the Pac-Man suit guy?"
Yeah, right. And I mean, I can. This is who I am now, right?
If we don't get you to Barcelona, we're going to lose subscribers probably.
Let's see when MagicCon Barcelona is. But looks like that is. MagicCon Barcelona is July 28th, so I guess hit us up in the Patreon. We'll make a new Patreon tier. Send Zach to Barcelona. You know, maybe they'll. I feel like if we got to Barcelona, they would give us a lot of exclusive stuff. It was just nice to be in the same room as a lot of people and get to hang out. That to me, like that's. The most fun part of this game is the friendships you make in the game. Like, I think I've said that a million times. Like, one of the greatest things about this podcast is, like, you and I get to hang out every week, you know? Before that, it was, like, Nate moved, and we got to hang out with Nate. Now, I mean, we still talk to Nate pretty much every day. But just being able to hang out with your friends in a shared hobby and like, that, there's nothing better than that.
What is the... So, when I can start going to these with you... What is the equivalent suit, if you're Pac-Man suit guy, that I should be wearing?
We got to get you a Space Invader suit. Just go full Namco.
Space Invader. Oh, yeah. Okay. There right? you go. Yeah. There
yeah. Do the. We're like the. You know, like because that's a great play. Like everyone sees and knows. Like you know, it's not the exact same outfit, but like you know, everyone's like I pick up what you're putting down.
Everybody knows what we're talking about. Yeah, I'm gonna just be like you know Toe Jam and Earl or something.
Yeah. Oh, Toe Jam. Just Toe Jam and Earl cosplay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife was a Sega kid, so she grew up on like Toe Jam and Earl and stuff.
Yeah, I anybody who wants a nice throwback, go listen to the soundtrack of Toe Jam and Earl. Shit slaps.
Oh yeah, it's like
shit slaps. The bass line goes for a walk the whole time.
Oh yeah,
the whole
yeah,
time
they do that. I mean, it's no Panic on Funkatron, but you know. That's Toe Jam and Earl too, right?
Man, what classics. We need the, if we don't get the ToeJam and Earl's Universes Beyond, what are we
Oh,
even
man.
doing?
Yo, so let's talk about that. Universes Beyond can dip into public domain. And I think that's like that's the biggest news of the week. So for me, like the first thing I thought, because I know about a lot of stuff that's in public domain based on LibriVox recordings and stuff like that. And so the two big ones are obviously H.P. Lovecraft and Robert E. Howard. Robert E. Howard did Conan. So you got Conan, you've got Kull, you've got Bryn Mac Morn, which is like, you know, these are all minor things to Conan. And then what was the other one that's that?
So the reason that they were able to do,
Solomon
we
King.
Knew, what's it called? Mark Rosewater said that IP is not off the table, or public domain IPs are not off the table. But they've already done that with Dracula. They did the reskin Draculas for the wedding vampire wedding set. I'm forgetting the name of it, Crimson Vow. So they've already dipped into that space already. Now, whether or not they use that for like new designs, that seems like it's only going to happen at it's an eventuality. But bro, give me all the Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Everybody
dude,
used
like,
Shakespeare
we need...
back in the early sets. They quote Shakespeare. Just give me, you know, the five color Willie Shakes, and he's just like, you know, they love these days designing the wordiest shit they can possibly make. Shakespeare would be perfect.
Yeah, I think that like, you know, give me the like Macbeth versus Hamlet versus Romeo versus Taming of the Shrew commander deck like
bro,
release.
Tybalt
Where's
might
that
as well
at?
Be Tybalt might as well be Obnixilus, bro.
Yeah, Tybalt from come on, Tybalt from what's it called, right? Like,
that's
but
what I'm
they
saying.
Use John Leguizamo instead, right? They use they do the Baz Luhrmann version.
Dude,
that would
if,
be
if
so
we got,
sick.
If we got,
we've already
the,
got.
You know,
look, we've already got. What's his name? Hugh Grant. They've already got a Hugh Grant magic card. Like,
Grant.
Why can't I have a John Leguizamo magic card? Right?
Yeah, we could have all those cards. Yeah. I'm ready,
we could
I'm
have
ready
Steamboat
for
Willie.
That, for
Steamboat
that.
Willie goes into the public domain in like a year or two.
I think that, like, because you could also have the double-sided cards of where, you know, fucking, you know, all the characters that, like, double as other characters, since every, you know, a third of Shakespeare's stuff is literally the same thing, where one character dresses up as the opposite sex in order to, like, disguise themselves from the person that they love so they can, like, figure out what they want so they can then trick them later on. It hasn't really aged well. But but at the same time, it would be ripe for double-sided legends.
Well, yeah, I mean, and think about, like, you know, the like, Brutus versus Julius Caesar duel decks, right? Like, come on. There's so much, like, Shakespeare is an obvious choice.
Dude, take me to the Odyssey. I'm ready for Homer's
right? And
Edgar Allan
Poe, like, let's not dilly-dally around with these, like, sort of planes. Let's use actual Earth. You know, like, there's tons of stuff for Earth,
dude,
like, you know.
The Raven Man is ready for Edgar Allan Poe's set.
Right?
Too easy.
Evermore, right? Please.
Too easy.
Yes. So that's an interesting, like, just piece of information that just got dropped on the internet. And I love that because, like, yeah, like I said, like, I'm a total book nerd to begin with. Like, I have a second edition copy of The Lord of the Rings from 1967.
Bro,
like,
it's making me think. There are probably so many public domain IPs that I don't realize are public domain. That, like, anybody, if you're in our Discord, like, let us know which public domain IPs you'd like to see.
In our Discord,
like,
go into the comments section and tell me what your favorite public domain piece would be right now. Type it in.
Because, like, honestly, if we are able to get any of the WotC guys on the podcast anytime in the near future, and we can, like, follow up and be like, hey, Rosewater said public domain IPs aren't off the table, and we can just, like, recommend public domain IPs. I'm sure they have a bunch of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Conan, I guarantee, is already in the works. Like, there's, like, you know, as a listener, if you haven't read Conan, that's totally okay. You know the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Maybe you know the Jason Momoa movie, and for that, I'm very sorry. And so is Jason Momoa.
He did a movie?
Yeah, he did a Conan movie, and it's very bad. And, like, he's admitted, like, he's like, look, they changed a lot, and it's not good. What else they what who else was it? They did so anyhow, the cartoon, but like the stories, the actual book, the books that they put out for Conan are so cool. And like there's just so many great stories, like the Tower of the Elephant, which is like about this alien that Conan finds, and he like they break into this tower. It has one of, so I won't go on too long about this, but it has one of the all-time best like literature quotes from the 20th century. Conan's in a bar talking to this guy who's like a noble, and he basically like the noble is just like, well, who the hell are you? You know, whatever, you're an idiot. And Conan's like, that's the difference between living in a civilization and living on the steppe, is like in civilization, people are a lot ruder because I won't break your face in like a building normally, you know? Like it's just like as he's like as a matter of rule. I wish I could read the exact quote because it's just like so it's so Conan. Like he's just like, you know, I could break your neck, but like I'm not gonna because we're being cool right now. Anyhow, I really
That's
think
flavor
that like
text.
yeah, oh, it'd be great flavor text. I really think that Conan is like just the most right, like it fits right in with the magic thing. Anyhow, you know, you get that like nice dark fantasy. We haven't had a dark fantasy set in Magic like ever. Have we had a dark fantasy set ever? Like the Grimdark?
Would oh yeah, no, I was gonna say, I was like, Eldraine might be considered that.
No,
Innistrad,
that's more like
maybe.
fairy tale fantasy. It's different than like, you know, like if you look at D&D, like that fits into like Forgotten Realms, like what we've seen for the D&D sets, like Eldraine and Forgotten Realms are kind of the same-ish vibe. Whereas like Dark Sun, which is like a desert planet that like you know, you're basically like just trying to survive, and like it's resource low, and like every kingdom is corrupt, and like, you know, just it's just not a good place to be the common man. That is the kind of thing like that I would love to see out of like the Age of Hyboria, like Conan stuff. Like that'd be cool.
Yeah, the last thing that I want to touch on in terms of stuff that's outside of the Magic IP is we're going to do another episode on this, but I do want to touch that we do have what the ring tempts you does
Yes.
as part of the new Lord of the Rings thing. So we're not going to dive into it now. We're going to do it on a different episode, but I do want to point out two things about it. The ring tempts you is another emblem mechanic. So once the ring tempts you, you just get an emblem that has the effects that does the thing for the rest of the game. So I pose the question for us to ponder until next episode. Can WotC design within the confines of the game anymore, or can they only do non-interactive emblem mechanics?
Yeah.
The second thing is this makes it so that any creature can become legendary, which means that Caracas looping with non-legends can potentially be a thing that we'll have to
Okay.
dive into.
All right.
So.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting, actually. All right. So I think this is probably a good spot to drop off at. You know, it was like I said, it was so much fun to talk about to go to Minneapolis. If you feel like you wanna see me go to Barcelona, I will go for you to Barcelona. We'll set that up in the Patreon. We'll make a send
If
Zach to Barcelona tier.
that happens too, we can also try and like if you have all of the contact information now with the team that you're talking about that handles creators to
Yeah,
potentially
BGC, yeah.
get to get interviews ahead of time so that we know like if we could go, if like you are able to go to Barcelona, who we would be able to interview while you're there.
Yeah, that I mean they've been very good about coming up with that and telling me who I could get and like working, you know, they're doing the legwork for me, which is really awesome. Once again, I just want to thank Jeff and Larry for all their help over the weekend. Everybody that I saw, you know, that we touched base with, anybody that's new that met me in Minneapolis, thanks so much. And looks like Phil's dropped off again, so that's it for
My
this week.
camera kept cutting in and out. I
Yeah,
apologize.
that's it for this week. We will see you next week, and we'll talk about more legacy content. It'll be less of a slice of life situation. And hey, maybe I'll have a new job by then, so we'll see what happens.
Zach is gonna have a new job. We're gonna talk about the ring tempts you. And
I want
also, Go, you go.
I wanted to thank everybody in the Discord that, like, when I let everybody know that I lost my job, that, like, reached out and was there with support and was there with, like, like possible job applications and everything. That means so much to me. And I mean, I can't thank you all enough. That's really cool. We have an amazing
Community sticks
community.
together, man. Community
Yeah.
sticks together.
I think that's it for me. You got anything else, Phil?
No, and happy ass morning, my kind of stand a cold card to you.
Oh yeah, I turn. By the way, you'll be watching this on Monday. Tomorrow, I turn 43. So happy birthday to me.
Congratulations on wearing that pristine 43 looking Pac-Man suit.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Good night.